One, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Dan Novak, Dan Friedel, Anna Mateo, and Brian Lin. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will bring us the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Dan Novak.
China wants 10 small Pacific nations to join an agreement covering many issues, including security and fisheries. The agreement would permit China to gain more influence over the area. The Associated Press, or AP, received a draft of the agreement. It shows that China wants to train police officers, cooperate on traditional and non-traditional security, and expand law enforcement cooperation. The plan is called the Common Development Vision. China also wants to develop a plan for fisheries. The agreement would increase cooperation on operating the area's internet networks. It also would set up cultural Confucius institutes and classrooms. China also suggests the possibility of setting up a free trade area with the Pacific nations. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi and a delegation of 20 officials are beginning a visit to the Pacific area this week. Wang is visiting 7 of the countries he hopes will support the plan. They include the Solomon Islands, Kiribati, and Samoa. Also on the list are Fiji, Tonga, Vanuatu, and Papua New Guinea. Wang is also holding video meetings with the other 3 possible supporters of the agreement: the Cook Islands, Niue, and the Federated States of Micronesia. Wang is hoping the countries will support the agreement after a meeting planned for May 30th in Fiji. The foreign ministers of each of the 10 countries are invited. Micronesia, however, has rejected the plan. President David Panuelo wrote an 8-page letter to the leaders of other Pacific nations, warning of serious results if they do. He wrote that he is concerned the agreement permits China to own and control the area's fisheries and communications infrastructure. Panuelo said in his letter that the agreement is an attempt by China to increase its influence over the Pacific nations and tie the whole of our economies and societies to them. He also warned the agreement would heighten international political tensions. Panuelo wrote that the Common Development Vision threatens to bring a new Cold War era at best and a world war at worst. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin said Wednesday he did not know about Panuelo's letter. "But I don't agree at all with the argument that cooperation between China and the South Pacific Island countries will trigger a new Cold War," he said. Like some other countries in the Pacific, Micronesia is finding itself caught between the competing interests of the United States and China. Micronesia has close ties to the U.S. through an agreement called a Compact of Free Association, but it also has what Panuelo describes in his letter as a great friendship with China that he hopes will continue even though he opposes the agreement. The security parts of the agreement will be particularly troubling to many in the area and beyond. China signed a separate security agreement with the Solomon Islands last month. The draft agreement also states that the Pacific countries firmly abide by the One China policy. That is the policy by the government in Beijing, under which Taiwan, a self-ruled island democracy, is considered to be part of China. The AP has also received a draft of another five-year plan that China hopes to have signed along with the Common Development Vision. Under the five-year plan, China is offering the Pacific nations different incentives like aid for law enforcement, education, and governance. China says it will also spend an additional $2 million and send 200 medical professionals to the islands to provide health services and fight COVID-19. China also promises to help the countries in their efforts to fight climate change. I'm Dan Novak.
A leader of the U.S. government-run weather agency said he expects a record-setting hurricane season this summer for the Atlantic Ocean. Rick Spinrad is the administrator for NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He told the Associated Press that the summer season in the Atlantic will produce from 14 to 21 large storms. About half of them will become the powerful storms known as hurricanes. 3 to 6 of them will turn into major hurricanes with winds measuring about 200 kilometers per hour. The number of damaging storms changes over long periods of time. Over 30 years, the number of large storms was about 14. But in 2020, there were 30. And last year, there were 21. The strength of a hurricane is shown by its category. Category 5 storms have the highest measured wind speeds. Spinrad said, in the past 5 years, the number of Category 4 or 5 storms that reached land in the United States was more than all such storms in the 50 years before that. He said, this year will be similar to past years, and warned, if you fail to plan around this outlook, you are planning to fail. He said people who own homes or land in the coastal areas usually affected by storms need to protect their property. Matthew Rosenkranz predicts storms for NOAA. He said, all of the things that go into producing big hurricanes are present this year. That includes a heavy rainy season in West Africa, a cooling pattern in the Pacific Ocean known as La Niña that affects weather around the world is another predictor, and warmer ocean temperatures caused by climate change are another. Other weather experts not associated with NOAA agreed that there will be a higher number of damaging storms this year. They said the La Niña weather event reduces a kind of wind that can lower the strength of hurricanes. As countries around the world reduce pollution, the air has become cleaner, they said. This increases sunlight that makes water temperature rise. Deanne Criswell is director of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The agency helps people after disasters. We are seeing these storms happen more frequently, she said at a news event in New York City. They're lasting longer. Criswell said the change in the number of storms that come from climate change is dramatic. NOAA said 13 people died in 2021 when Hurricane Ida flooded many cities in the northeastern U.S., 11 people in New York City who lived in below-ground housing died because of the floods. This year is also the 10-year anniversary of Sandy, a large storm that caused a loss of power and flooding in much of New York City. NOAA said there is a 65% chance that this year's storm season will be above normal. Phil Klotzbach researches hurricanes at Colorado State University. He said, 6 straight years with the high ACE, a measure of storm strength, is a record and really strange. 10 other weather teams agree with NOAA. The groups come from the government, universities, and private weather companies. The average of their predictions suggests there will be 20 big storms and 8 hurricanes. 4 of those hurricanes are expected to be major ones. I'm Dan Friedel.
A woman in Germany has made a big change in her daily ride to work that adds time but saves money. Stephanie Kirschner now leaves her vehicle at home and uses real horsepower to get to work. She rides a carriage pulled by 2 horses. Kirschner is a 33-year-old horse trainer and farm owner. She says she has little choice. Fuel prices have increased following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. She also expects the running of her farm to become more costly. So, she said, we have to save a little money. Kirschner now uses the carriage to travel about 6 kilometers from her home in western Germany to work. That turns a one-way trip from 10 to 15 minutes to as much as an hour. But Kirschner estimates that she could save about $264 a month by not driving her vehicle and using horsepower every day. The carriage and her horses are popular with children and other people. However, she does admit that some people are always in a hurry and can get annoyed if they cannot pass her fast enough. Kirschner knows that her answer to rising fuel prices is not for everyone. And she does run into some difficulties. Parking, for example, can be hard to find for her horse and carriage. I can't put a horse in a parking garage, she says. However, she adds that a lot more horse riders would do it if opportunities were created for the horses. I'm Anna Mateo.
Google has launched a new tool designed to help people prepare for job interviews. The system, called Interview Warm-Up, is powered by artificial intelligence methods. The tool creates interview test questions related to several major technology fields. These include information technology and support, project management, data analytics, and online sales and marketing. The tool was created as part of Google's efforts to develop conversational AI systems. These systems use messaging technologies and voice recognition to permit users to interact with computers and devices in more natural ways. Google recently launched Interview Warm-Up to the public for free. Users first choose the field they are interested in for a practice interview. The process involves users typing or speaking their answers into the system after each question is presented. Video is currently not part of the tool. The system centers on three main kinds of questions: background, situational, and technical, Google explains. Background questions cover a user's past training and job history. Situational questions seek information on how a job seeker has dealt with different career situations in the past. And technical questions cover the specific knowledge and skills a person has. If the user speaks using a microphone, the tool puts the user's answers into written form. The interview warm-up system then uses AI and machine learning methods to analyze the answers and provide suggestions for improvements. For example, the system can let a user know when he or she is using important terms related to specific jobs of interest. It also identifies the words used most by the interviewee. Google says this information can help job seekers recognize whether using such repeated words can help or hurt them during an interview. The tool can also point out any talking points that were used or suggest new ones that could be effective when interviewing for different kinds of jobs. For people with privacy concerns, Google says none of the information entered or spoken into the tool is stored or shared. Since the system does not store information, users are asked to copy any answers they want to keep in a separate document. While creating the system, developers spoke with individuals who had completed job training classes offered by Google and were actively looking for work. The classes are part of the company's Career Certificate Program. Jasmine Rubinovitz is a software engineer and researcher with Google Creative Lab. She helped develop the interview warm-up tool. Rubinovitz explains in a video that there are currently more than 1.3 million job openings in the United States for high-paying technology jobs across different fields. She notes, however, that the company's career training programs can only go so far in helping prepare job seekers to get one of those available positions. We found that the one thing job seekers had a hard time with was interviewing, Rubinovitz said. So we tried to think, could we use machine learning and large language models to build a tool to help you practice for a job interview, she added. Rubinovitz says the tool is designed to permit job seekers to practice their interview skills in a safe space as many times as they desire. Interview warm-up can be used with most internet browsers as well as the Android and iOS mobile operating systems. I'm Brian Lynn.
Today, on our national parks journey, we visit a land of giants, high up in California's Sierra Nevada mountains. Here, you will find the largest living things on Earth, as well as the tallest mountain in the continental United States. You will also find the deepest canyon in America. Welcome to Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Park. The park gets its name from the area's ancient sequoia trees. They are among the oldest trees on the planet. Millions of years ago, different kinds of sequoias grew in many different places. Only two kinds exist today: the redwood and the giant sequoia. Both are found in California. Redwoods are taller, but the trunks of giant sequoias are much bigger. Sequoia National Park's forests are thick with giant sequoias. Many of the trees are several thousand years old. The largest is called General Sherman. It is named after a U.S. general in the Civil War, William Tecumseh Sherman. The tree is 31 meters around. It stands almost 84 meters tall, and it continues to grow. It sits within the park's giant forest. The forest is home to over 8,000 sequoia trees. General Sherman is more than 2,200 years old. It is the world's largest tree in terms of the amount of wood it contains. The National Park Service says if the tree were cut down, it would provide a huge amount of wood construction planks. It says if they were laid end to end, they would stretch for almost 200 kilometers.
In the late 1800s, people grew concerned about logging activity in the area. They sought to protect the giant sequoias from being cut down for wood. One of those people was Walter Fry. In 1888, he came to the Sierra Nevada Mountains as a logger himself. He spent 5 days with a team of loggers trying to take down a single giant sequoia tree. Fry then decided to count the tree's rings to learn its age. The answer shocked and saddened him. The tree they had cut down was more than 3,200 years old. He and his team of loggers had ended thousands of years of growth. The experience led Fry to change jobs. He became a naturalist. He studied the trees and measured the size of fallen sequoias. He also joined the fight to protect them from future loggers. When a petition was created to urge Congress to create a national park in the area, Fry was the third person to sign it. Sequoia National Park was established on September 25, 1890. It became the country's second national park after Yellowstone.
In 1940, Congress established another park near Sequoia, Kings Canyon. It and Sequoia National Park have been managed together since 1943. Kings Canyon is home to the deepest canyon in the United States, as well as a famous sequoia forest called Grant Grove. Here, you will find the world's second biggest tree, the General Grant Tree. It is over 3,000 years old. Along with the world's biggest trees, the area is also home to one of America's highest peaks, Mount Whitney. It measures 4,414 meters. It lies in the eastern part of Sequoia National Park. While many visitors travel here to witness the giant sequoias, some visitors also come here to climb Mount Whitney. The climbing trail itself begins at an elevation of over 2,400 meters, already very high for some people. Many hikers experience altitude sickness while trying to reach the top. More than 30,000 people try to climb Mount Whitney each year. Only about 10,000 reach the top. Of course, the park offers less extreme hikes as well. One of the most popular is the Morro Rock Trail. Morro Rock itself rises more than 2,000 meters. But hikers only need to climb the final 90 meters to reach the top. From there, they are rewarded with stunning views, the towering Sierra Nevada mountains, and kilometers of giant sequoia forests. Climbers also get a view of the 90-kilometer-long Kaweah River, which runs through a deep canyon.
Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Park is home to a richly diverse animal world. More than 300 species of wildlife live in the park. Mammals include the tiny white-footed mouse, the gray fox, and the bobcat. Black bears are also common. Bird species include the California quail, the northern owl, and the acorn woodpecker. There are also many animals that swim, slither, hop, or crawl. Visitors might see a northern Pacific tree frog, a western pond turtle, or the colorful rainbow trout. If you are lucky, you will not run into one of the park's poisonous wild rattlesnakes. But do not let bears and snakes scare you away. Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Park is too extraordinary to miss. The words of the late naturalist John Muir perfectly describe a visit to this great park. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into trees. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.